The B-52s were one of the bands that emerged during the rock new wave of the late 70s. They're a band that liked to have fun. They played eccentric dance music. The women wore bouffant hairdos and miniskirts that, like some of their songs, evoked the early 1960s. The B-52s came to New York from Athens, Georgia, in the late 70s and scored a hit with their 1978 single Rock Lobster. Just before the release of their 1986 album, Bouncing Off the Satellites, guitarist and composer Ricky Wilson died of AIDS. The band decided not to tour, and their future together seemed uncertain. The four remaining members gradually started playing with each other again, and the result is their new album, Cosmic Thing. My guests are singer and lyricist Fred Schneider and singer and keyboardist Kate Pearson. Here's the album's title song, Cosmic Thing. When I first got your new record, and before I played it, I looked at the album titles and I saw Cosmic Thing and Follow Your Bliss. I said to myself, have the B-52s gone new age?
Well, there's an element of...
positive thinking.
Yeah, I mean, I think embracing that all-embracing term new age kind of encompasses some things that are really regarded as hokey, but I think in amongst all that are some things that have been around for a long time that are really positive things, you know, like I guess it would include
caring about the environment, wanting to give a positive message.
Yeah.
When we started back, we didn't really know what if we, you know, could keep going on, you know, when after Ricky died. And once we started jamming again and working, we found that a lot of the songs had just expressed sort of a positive feeling, like a reaffirmation of life. And
we sort of had almost a rebirth as a band, you know, coming from a group of friends when we started, and having a band member pass away that was so close to us, and we were such a close-knit group. Going through that kind of process, it was like, you know, a rebirth and starting again. So we found that, you know, a lot of the songs did have this theme to them.
When Ricky Wilson, who was your guitarist, died, did you think the band was going to split up?
For a while, and then after a while, we decided, you know, we'd just see if, you know, we could do it again or wanted to do it again. And it turned out, you know, the jamming started going really well, and we started working together and arranging things together, and we've decided, you know, we got to do it. You know, we want to do it.
Let me ask you a few things about the history of the B-52s. You formed when you were all living in Georgia. You moved eventually from Georgia to New York and started playing the New York clubs. What were some of the differences to you between playing in the clubs in Georgia and playing in New York? And this was really like the height of the new wave scene in the clubs.
The difference was there were no clubs in Georgia.
There weren't any clubs. We had to play New York first. We played Max's Kansas City before we played a club in Georgia.
We played parties in Georgia. That's how we got our start. A friend said, could you play at our Valentine's Day party? And then we played at a birthday party.
And a keg party in the summer. And finally, there was a folk club in Athens. And at first they didn't want any rock bands to play there. But then we played there. Finally, they talked them into letting us play there. When we filled it up, they said, oh, well, we should have them back.
So what was it like for you when you first started playing clubs after being used to playing parties?
Well, we thought it was a hoot. I mean, we didn't really think it would go much further. After we played Max's Kansas City the first time, we thought, well, we did it. Now we can go back to Georgia, you know, wash dishes and set up type and load the bus.
But people thought, they are so strange, and they come from Georgia like that was a Neptune or something.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we just did it, you know, because we played parties. We just kept the same atmosphere, and everybody, you know, like in New York, were cool, wearing black leather and standing there in their sunglasses, you know, at 2 o'clock in the morning, and there we are just dancing away, saying this is a dance song, and nobody would dance at first, you know, because nobody danced.
Why didn't people dance? Was it?
They were too cool.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was just,
it just wasn't
check it
in.
Out. Wasn't into dance.
But then people started dancing, and they've kept dancing ever since.
The women in the band, I don't know if you're still doing it, but you used to. wear bouffant hairdos for performances and for album jacket covers. I guess maybe there were wigs.
Wigs? We still wear wigs and falls and hair pieces, but sometimes we wear our own hair. In the beginning, we actually wore these fun fur purses that were turned upside down and teased up, and we put them on our heads. They were like big white fake fur purses. And then we used to have our hair teased up by a local hairdresser.
There's really this sense of early 60s decor in your early stuff, not just the hair, but also some of the photos on album jackets. I was wondering if you grew up in that period.
Well, we're
like,
all...
What your emotional connection to that stuff is to beach blanket movies and sci-fi movies, TV themes of the early 60s.
I don't think there was ever a conscious effort to revive the 60s. Mm-mm. When we were starting out. When we lived in Athens, all of us had really low-paying jobs. And the only place we could afford, since we weren't real, you know, career-minded go-getters, you know, the only place for us to afford clothes was the Potter's House, which was a thrift store of the Salvation Army. And a lot of the stuff we bought actually was like some of the wilder stuff from the 60s. I mean, I think what we liked was the energy of the 60s, but we never decided to, you know, revive them or bring them back. The only reason we might have had sort of a 60s guitar sound was because the only guitar Ricky had was a Sears silver tone guitar, which sort of had a sort of a venture sound.
Well, let me ask you about your first hit, Rock Lobster. Was it a group effort to write the song?
Yeah. Actually, I wrote
the lyrics.
Most of the lyrics, uh-huh. And Ricky wrote the music, but Cindy and Kay came up with their parts, you know, the backing vocals and all that. We basically had a title. I went to this disco in Atlanta called 2001, and they had signs of the Zodiac for the tables, and since they couldn't afford a light show, they had a slideshow, and they would show things like steaks on a barbecue grill and puppies and smiling children and cooked lobsters. And so I thought Rock Lobster just sounded like a good title for a song. We all jammed on it.
We were at the beach. Everybody had matching towels. Somebody went under a dock, and there they saw a rock. It wasn't a rock. Rock Lobster! Rock Lobster! Rock Lobster!
It's a great song, and
it's our classic.
Yes. Well, it's this, to me, is this kind of combination of science fiction and beach party stuff.
Lewis Carroll goes to the beach, I guess.
Yeah. I have to ask you, Fred, about your singing. You have this talking singing,
yes,
style. And I don't know, sometimes when I hear you, I think one of your inspirations was the Monster Mash.
The Monster Mash? Well, actually, I guess I just have a sort of a deadpan voice. Actually, I like vocalists like Dinah Washington, people like that who sort of talk, sing. Not that I would compare my singing to theirs, but I like to write poetry, and that's my style.
Did you ever sing?
No, I was the kind of person who, when there would be a sing around the campfire, I wouldn't sing. I would never sing in music class, never.
Well, you know, Kate, you and Cindy sing in these really tight harmonies, and it's just the opposite of what Fred does. You know, he's talk singing, and you're not only really singing, but especially on the new record, the harmonies are, you know, really quite worked out.
Yeah, it really came about naturally. A lot of times we write the lyrics and the melodies and the harmonies at the same time, so they're kind of unexpected events happen, you know, like a certain harmony will come about. We'll listen to the tapes afterward and we'll think, oh, that's an incredible, incredible harmony. We never could have come up with that if we had thought about it or tried to write a harmony.
Here comes the girl.
have a video.
It's out.
It's out.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't get MTV where I live.
I don't either.
Are you pleased to be able to do a video, or do you consider it just something that, well, it has to be done and we'll do it?
Oh, we like doing them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they can be a lot of fun, and they can be very interesting. Just depends on how you do. And it's one way fans who will see you, because a lot of people have never seen us, you know, because we've never played certain states, or the only way they are going to see us is either TV or, you know, MTV, through the videos.
Well, I want to thank you both a lot for talking with us. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.